Now, 877-500-5266. Do your part to ensure social change through independent grassroots media. Do your part to ensure Positively Revolting, continues in its existence. KBOO continues its existence, and you have your access to independent, free-flowing community radio. 877-500-5266.
Party. Come out and party. KBOO is proud to present a KBOO dance party with live salsa and Latin jazz.
Hi, I'm Nick Geffro, host of Jazz Lives on KBOO. I brought back my 9-piece salsa and Latin jazz band, Palante. We have some exciting musicians, including lead vocalist Isa Perez from Havana, Cuba. And Palante is putting on a KBOO benefit salsa dance party. Come hear us on Sunday night, October 20th, from 6:30 to 10 p.m. Celebrate with us on the big dance floor at Fontainebleau Nightclub. The club is at Northeast 3rd and Broadway in Portland.
Meet new friends and enjoy a KBOO community event with some exciting Latin flavor. That's Palante, Sunday, October 20th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at Northeast 3rd and Broadway. More details at kboo.fm.
Good morning. It's KBOO, KBOO. It's 9 o'clock. No, it's after 9 o'clock. And it's time now for Veterans Voice. Hosts Bill, Arlene, and Marvin interview Ann Jones about her new book, They Were Soldiers, How the Wounded Returned from America's Wars. At 10 o'clock, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia with guest musician Dave Rovics. And starting at 10:15, we'll hear a series of recent talks including Thomas Lindsay of the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund on the community rights movement, sustainability, and the right to local self-government. An interview with Arun Gupta of the Occupy Wall Street Journal on how Wall Street is benefiting from this week's deal in Congress. Also activist and author Bill McKibben on the 350.org movement and his new book, Oil and Honey, The Education of an Unlikely Activist. Professor and author Kathleen Dean Moore will speak on climate activism, and former British military microwave weapons expert Barry Trower will speak on wireless technology, microwave radiation, and its biological effects. That all starts at 10:15. But right now it's time for Veterans Voice, and they'll be speaking with Ann Jones. Thanks for tuning in today.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Lobau? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone.
He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war. And without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put the end to war.
Welcome to Veterans Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 FM Hood River and the Gorge, and 100.7 FM Albany, Corvallis, Eugene, or on the World Wide Web at KBOO.FM. I'm Marvin, and along with Bill.
Good morning.
And Arlene.
Hi, good morning.
And today we're going to be talking with Ann Jones. She's an author, an independent journalist, and a photographer. She's also written a lot of magazine articles, and you can get those on Tom Dispatch. She's written 8 books, and she has written extensively on violence against women. And she started in 2002. She started reporting on the conflict in Afghanistan, the Middle East, South Asia, West Africa, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And writes on the impact of war on civilians, which is very good. She wrote Kabul in the Winter and War is Not Over When It's Over. And her latest books is They Were Soldiers, Now How the Wounded Returned from America's War, The Untold Story. And you can read her, like I said, you can read her articles on tomdispatch.com. And Anne lives in Norway, and we're having trouble getting through right now, so we're going to just talk a little bit here before we get a hold of Anne, because it's like 9 hours difference, and we've been talking back and forth on the on emails, so we're going to have to deal with that. So, but what before, since we can't, we're in our pledge drive right now, and so we'll be going to pledge drive here soon, and we haven't. We haven't been here on Pledge Drive for a few times, but we're going to. Paul Rowland's out there, and Paul's the first one that's ever had us on the show. Back in the early 90s, he came to us and said, "You guys want to come on the show?" And he's the first one that ever had us on the show, and we've been with.
We've been here ever since.
They can't kick us out, you know. So we keep going, and Paul's back. And the first time I saw him this morning.
I haven't seen him for ages.
Well, introduce me to him.
He's a wonderful guy. And I want to thank you for going to be calling in to give us a pledge. But I want to talk a little bit about, there's some books I'd like you guys to check out and read. And the first one is Thank You for Your Service by David Finkel. And it talks about veterans coming home after the wars and how they're treated and different things like that. And he's a really a good author, and he does a very good job. And the other one that I'm reading, I just finished it. It's Death of Others, The Fate of Civilians in American Wars. And it is by a guy named Tierman. And it is just an amazing book. It talks about the wars from early on and until now, and talks a lot about the percentages of who dies in wars. You know, it used to be so many soldiers to civilians. Now it's more civilians than soldiers are dying in these wars. And it's really a good book. And there's another book that's really interesting, and it's called The Deserters. The Hidden World of World War II by Charles Glass, and that's an interesting book. It talks about how many deserters there were in World War II. The Americans and the British had lots of deserters, and it talks about why they deserted, what they're doing, and different things like that. And so that's also a good book. And Tammy, have you got a hold of her yet? Okay, great.
Oh, good.
And the other book is Fragging, Why the U.S. Soldiers Assault Their Officers in Vietnam by George Lepree. And that's a good book. We've got a hold of Anne, and I'm going to go back a little bit and just tell you a little more again about Anne. Like I said, she's an independent journalist. She's a photographer. She's written many, many articles, and she's the author of 8 books. And she's written the book. She wrote Kabul in the Winter and War is Not Over When It's Over. And her latest book that we're going to talk with Anne today about, They Were Soldiers, How the Wounded Return from Americans' Wars, The Untold Story. And Anne, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
It's really good to hear your voice.
Good morning.
Yeah, this is Arlene. And this is Bill.
Hi, Arlene.
Hi, Anne.
And this is Bill.
Good morning.
It's evening. Hi, Bill.
It's evening where you are, but I'm glad we got a hold of you. And your book is really an interesting book, and I'm glad that we're going to be able for you to tell us about it. Can you tell us how come you decided to write a book about this subject, because of all the books you've written before were on domestic violence? What made you decide to write this book?
Well, actually, my last couple of books before this have been about the war, but from the civilian side. They've been about many wars, actually, from the civilian side, and mostly in terms of what happens to women, because women and kids are really the principal civilian victims of all these wars.
Yes.
And soldiers were, apart from women soldiers were really not on my mind until I embedded with forces at a forward operating base in northeast Afghanistan in order to hook up with something the military was trying to develop called female engagement teams among their soldiers. And while I was on that base in a part of Afghanistan where supposedly nothing really was going on,
right.
Patrols were going out every day and coming back with missing men.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but we're going to have to break for a pledge. Can you please excuse us for this, but we have to pledge for our radio station, and we'll get right back to you, and it'll be very, very fast. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, first things first.
Okay, and we're going to go out to Pledge Central to Paul.
Yeah, we're the Pear and Paul show here this
That's
morning.
Right.
Or the Paul and Pear, as the case may be. Yeah, the number to call is 877-500-5266. And this show has been going on for quite a while. We've been bringing you news from, inside the world of veterans and the military and what's really going on with the military-industrial complex. This kind of thing is really important. It's not, veterans' voices are not often heard. Yeah, there's news reports and there's occasional interviews, but regular programs, I don't think you'll find too many of them except on community radio stations like our own, KBOO.
Well, we have some people to thank. I want to thank James, who is a renewing member from Southwest Portland. He upped his pledge. Sarah is a new member, Southeast Portland. And it looks like Zoe upped her pledge from Yamhill. And Nicole is a renewing member from Southeast Portland. Thank you, one and all. They are the people that keep this station going. We don't depend on corporate handouts or think tanks or government sponsorship or anything like that. We depend on you, the listeners, and we hope that you depend on us. I know I depend on KBOO for a lot of the news that I get, because you don't hear it anywhere else. There's nowhere on radio that I know is there any show like The Veteran's Voice. It just doesn't exist in the commercial realm. And so that's why you need KBOO, 877-500-5266.
Or KBOO.fm, that's our website. And our website has been going through some trepidations recently, but it seems to be stabilizing thanks to Jenka, our news director, who was on the case, and a couple of student volunteers. And in fact, anybody who wants to volunteer on that or other projects, there's lots of room for involvement here at KBOO. That's what we're all about. We're all about community involvement. So your involvement with your financial support is definitely needed in these 2 weeks of the pledge drive. That's the main thing we're asking you right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, your involvement is up to you. You can come on down. You can be just sort of a person who gives us money to keep us on the air. You can come on down here and you can take classes in how to do radio. You can serve on committees that help run the station. You can vote for the board, and you can run for the board. I mean, people do that all the time. It is up to you how deeply embedded you want to be into KBOO.
Embedded, you're going to use that word, aren't you?
Embedded, right.
So we're going to go back to the program in a second here, but we do want to remind you there is this book by Ann Jones, They Were Soldiers, How the Wounded Returned from America's Wars, The Untold Story. For a $60 minimum pledge. And to get that, you can call 877-500-5266.
And we're back, and we're talking to Ann Jones. And you were talking about when you got into Afghanistan and you were watching the troops go out and come back, and they would come back with less than they went out with, and how that was starting to affect the way you were writing.
Yes. First, I have to say, boy, this sounds like a great station, a great program that you have going. I'm so glad to hear the veteran's voice because, you know, America doesn't listen to that as much as we should. But as I was saying, when guys on patrol were hit, they would just disappear because they were whisked off in helicopters and taken to the hospital. And even their own buddies, of course, didn't see them again. And I thought, where do they go? What happens? We hear about this wonderful military medical system, but, you know, you all of a sudden a man goes missing or a woman. And then the next thing we know, we see photographs of people with artificial limbs, prosthetic devices, and we hear about what remarkable recoveries they've made and how now they're going skiing. Mm-hmm. Well, what happens in between? I thought that's the piece of it that nobody knows anything about. So I then took me a year to get permission to do it, but then I did go back and embed with the medevac people.
Oh, and medevac. That's what Arlene was a nurse in a big hospital in Vietnam, so she knows what you're talking about.
It was a small hospital, but yes.
And so when you got... I'm sorry.
And you worked really, really hard.
Oh, she did.
I did.
She did.
I did.
She worked really hard.
And I'm very, very interested and curious to hear what your observations were and how you experienced this.
Yeah. So when you got there and you finally got into the hospital, how was that? What did you see? What was going on?
Well, you see soldiers coming in every day and with extremely severe injuries, catastrophic injuries. The catastrophic injuries in Afghanistan, according to all the doctors, were much worse than those in Iraq, although those in Iraq were certainly serious enough for anybody. But, you know, a piece of this, and Arlene reminds me of this, a piece of this that I think people are completely unaware of is the toll that this takes on the caregivers in the field who are going every day, more and more of these catastrophically injured people coming in and the attempt being made to save their lives. And this is terrible work. And talk about a stressful job and a job that has no end. And everywhere along the line, from the bases in the field and at Bagram in Afghanistan to Landstuhl in Germany and back to Walter Reed in Washington, the level of effect that this was having on caregivers made a very, very deep impression on me. Mm-hmm. And all of them said, particularly those in the combat zone, all said the same thing, that they were completely unprepared deal with the kind of injuries they were seeing. They'd never seen injuries like this before. And they said, every one of them said, I never want to see anybody go through this again.
And we're going to have to take another break, but our next segment after this break will be a long one. And so we'll be able to talk for a much longer time on after this one here, and so we can get into some more really interesting stuff. I want to talk to you about the mortuary. I want to talk to you about Jessica Goodall.
And the chaplains.
And the chaplains, for sure, and about Cheney's PR against the war. So we're going to go to Pledge Central to Paul and Pear.
Yeah, we are here, the Pear and Paul Show.
We are here. We want to talk to you about financial matters. Very important, because that is what keeps KBOO on the air. We, you know, PGE does not take pledges. They want their money. And so we got to operate in this capitalist economy as much as we may not like it. So, and that's why we depend on you. We have a way of doing it where we don't depend on corporate sponsors or government handouts or anything like that. We depend on you, the people, and that's about the best way we can do it in this economy.
Yeah, mutual aid, I think it's called.
That's right, mutual aid.
Yeah, and you know, you wouldn't be able to get to hear the voices of people like Ann Jones and the countless other guests that have been on Veterans Voice over the years and over all other public affairs programs that are going to come to you on this special News and Public Affairs Day today. And so the only way that's going to keep coming out over these airwaves, over these frequencies, these three frequencies we have with the 90.7 and our two translator frequencies, the only way is if you help us out. And the way to help us out is to call that number. It's 877-500-5266.
Hey, I want to thank some of the people in the restaurant community for feeding us people down here. I want to thank Bar Carlo at 6433 Southeast Foster Road. Eddie's Flatiron Pizza at 1233 North Killingsworth. And Sub Rosa at 2601 Southeast Clinton Street. They are part of the community, too. They are little small businesses, and they understand the value of KBOO, and they want us to keep on broadcasting, too, just the way you do out there. And to do that, send in some money, 877-500-5266, or online, kboo.fm. Or come on down and see us. We're here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. You can't miss our big, huge corporate headquarters, 40 stories high. No.
Hey, we're low to the ground. We are low to the ground. We're grassroots here.
That's right. One lousy floor, you know, kind of crowded.
It's not a lousy
floor. A lot of happy
people.
There's
no lice here, I don't think.
That's true. Got a lot of good records. We have a huge. I think half the building is our record library because we have so much good music.
We do. We have amazing music, which I've been dipping into in my folk show and all our other musical DJs and hosts do on a day-to-day basis, bringing you really interesting music from all corners of the globe, all different genres.
Stuff too.
Yeah, someone bring in their own stuff. I like Steve, who brings in his little 45 case, just like it's like almost nothing, and it just like plays this rock and music every Friday afternoon.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Cool. That is why KBOO is so cool, people. Give us a call, 877-500-5266. Do it now.
We're talking with Ann Jones. She's the author of They Were Soldiers, How the Wounded Returned from Americans' Wars, The Untold Story. And Ann was talking about how the troops said that they had seen such catastrophic injuries that they never want to see it again. And that Arlene and I can say the same thing, that we felt the same way, and Bill did too, the Korean War. And there's one thing I want to talk to you a little bit about. Can you talk about your dealings when you went to the mortuary affairs and how that was working?
They never let me into mortuary affairs.
Mm.
You know, there's one thing the military wants to keep to itself. It's the death of of soldiers. You know, we had that ban on the press being involved at all in the return of dead soldiers,
yes,
and the return of their caskets to Dover Air Base. And that ban was in effect for about 17 years.
Mm.
So, and they would, they just don't want civilians to see that at all. So what I did was talk to, it happened to be women who were working in the mortuary affairs sections at various bases. And that's where they ready the dead soldiers to be sent home, and also gather together all of their possessions and sort them out and assemble them to be sent back to their families. It's a very grim job those people have, and those service people have, and they too are very heavily affected by the work that they have to do.
You talked to Jessica Goodell about her experience there, and we had Jessica on our show not long after she had written her book, and she talked a lot about the feelings that she had about how the other Marines, she was a Marine, and how the other Marines, you know, kind of stayed away from them, and that kind of alienated him again to be an even smaller, tighter group, because the other Marines didn't want to know. They didn't want to know what was happening there.
By the very nature of what's happening, the person that's serving, whether it's in the mortuary or the hospital, is isolated, period,
right,
because no one wants to hear it. They don't want to know that it happens.
Yeah, they don't want to know.
Well, and the higher-ups don't want them.
No, know. Of course not.
They're
My goodness.
They're concerned about the readiness of the soldiers they're going to send out on patrol. They don't want them to be thinking about what happened to the guys who disappeared yesterday. So, no, it's all kept quiet. And, of course, it's that isolation from other soldiers that makes the work that the mortuary affairs people have to do even more grim. And as Jess Goodall reports in her book, and I'm sure said to you, you know, she was still in touch with most of the men and women who served in her unit, and none of them was doing well. Some of them were doing very badly indeed. She talks about those who contemplated suicide as a result of their inability to live with the work they had to do in the military.
Yeah, and there's a huge problem of suicide in the military right now, and not only in the military, but also in the veterans community.
We discussed that last month. Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things that I thought it was interesting is what they call suicides in country. You know, they call it unexpected death.
Yes.
They don't call it a suicide. Go ahead,
no,
Ann.
They have one of those names for everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like rape is called military sexual trauma.
Oh.
Sure, it's kept cleansed. It's like the truth of these things are sanitized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when
Yeah,
go ahead, Ann.
No, I was just going to say, when you mentioned the suicide among veterans these days, you know, it's often hard to tell the difference between a suicide and an accidental death. And a lot of these deaths are occurring to soldiers who've become addicted to opioids that
sure.
they've been prescribed by military doctors or by the doctors at the Veterans Administration, the psychiatrists at the VA. And these are incredibly addictive and lethal drugs, particularly for young people. But the pharmaceutical industry has pushed them so hard by funding these kind of front organizations that are supposedly medical foundations, research foundations, And they pay the salaries, Big Pharma pays the salaries of psychiatrists and doctors who serve in these organizations and go around talking about the necessity of pain management and teach this in the medical schools and push, and I use that term advisedly, push those drugs on the VA and thence onto the soldiers. And I see that as, it's homicidal, I think. It's criminal what they're doing. And they've been investigated now by the congressional committees for a year and a half or more, but nothing is ever reported out of committee. And during the time the committee is considering whether to bring action against these front organizations that the pharmaceutical companies have set up and that clearly are killing veterans, while they try to decide that, more and more vets are dying.
Yeah, that's a real problem, is the suicides. And I remember in Vietnam, I don't, Arlene probably does too, that the suicide rate was, towards the end of the war, was getting pretty
really
heavy,
high.
Pretty high, and a lot of it had to do with the drug use over there in Vietnam. I mean, heroin and all kinds of drug was so easy to get, and the suicide rate was just skyrocketing. It was really a problem. So I can't imagine, you know, these folks over there, they've been in these wars for 10 years, you know, and they've 4, 5, 6 tours over there. You know, what do they expect, you know? So it's a real problem. I want to talk. There's two things Arlene and I were
yes, we want to get to this.
Yeah, we want to get to these. And the one is the family, when these people get back to their families, how their families are torn apart. And the one lady that you were talking to, she was a National Guard, officer lady, I think, and her name was,
yes,
Slater. Can you talk,
yes,
about that? That was so interesting to me. Slater.
Well, she had joined the National Guard years before 9/11, and she joined it in the spirit of public service, imagining that she was going to serve, as guardsmen used to do, pretty close to their home communities in natural disasters and things like that. You know, it's a community service. And she was amazed when she was assigned to go to Afghanistan. The unit went to Afghanistan. And she had only recently had a child.
Mm.
So she left her husband and children behind, including this little baby, and went to Afghanistan and served her time there, actually part of it in mortuary affairs.
Mm.
And by the time she came back, her baby had grown into a little girl who didn't know her mother. Her adolescent children were having some problems because mom had been gone for so long. And her husband had been making his own life with other women in the town while his wife was away. The whole thing was torn apart by the circumstances, these extraordinary circumstances that called her off to war. And at the same time, when she came back thinking that she would leave the National Guard, then she was offered a promotion and a bigger salary, which she needed because she was the support of her family. So she stayed in, and there she was in command of a whole unit of almost entirely men, back from the war in Afghanistan and experiencing the term you just used, unexpected deaths. So that family of soldiers, and she really did think of them as her family too, that family was also being torn apart in the aftermath of the war.
Mm. Yeah, that's a real problem. And then in your book, I was reading where you'd went to her house to, and I guess you were your husband was making lunch, and she called her little girl to come over to be with her, and the little girl wouldn't do it. She wouldn't come to her mom, and then Miss Slater said, "I didn't want you to sit on my lap anyway."
Oh my.
That is so telling. So telling, yes, about what happened to her, and she would call. She didn't call. She called the soldiers when she was in Afghanistan. She called them my soldiers, soldiers, and she would, you know, soldiers. She would put a capital S on it to make them more of a human being than to what they were being used for. And
yes,
oh man,
and she.
Go ahead.
She prided herself, she handled logistics for her unit, and she prided herself on the good care she took of those people she called my soldiers.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And another thing I want to talk to you about, we got about 3 minutes before we have to go into another break, but I want to talk to you about when you were on the plane going to Germany and you were on there with these really badly wounded men and one woman, and as you were flying, you were watching how they brought this really, really wounded soldier onto the plane, and some of the guys on the plane weren't as bad, but there was this one woman, this one officer lady. Can you talk about that?
Well, I think the officer you're talking about is a woman who had been raped.
Yes.
By one of her fellow soldiers. She was a captain, an Air Force captain, and she had been, she was actually working in the medical supply unit and was in charge of a big section of the main military hospital in Afghanistan. And, she was raped, and in the aftermath of that, it had such a terrible traumatic effect on her, as it does, that she was unable to leave her room to go and perform her duties. And when I talked to her, what she was most upset about was that she had to take a leave to go home and get some help because she felt that she was abandoning her duty.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more important to her than the personal trauma that she had suffered, that she had been absolutely incapacitated by the circumstances of what had been a very brutal rape by a person who had authority over her.
Yeah, did she say if that person had been reprimanded or did
no,
you
no.
didn't talk about that?
No.
Oh,
no,
boy.
She did tell me.
No.
He had not been reprimanded. He was in command.
Nothing happened to him.
Nothing happened to him. That's the whole, you know, the crux of this whole problem is the chain of command just takes care of itself. And in case after case after case, when you talk to women and men who have been raped in the military, they've been raped by somebody who was over them in the chain of command.
I'm glad you brought that up, too, because it is not only the women are being raped, but the men are being raped, too. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes, and they are, if anything, even more reluctant to talk about it, because if it becomes public, then they're derided as being gay.
Right.
And, of course, gay is not the pejorative term now that that it used to be.
Right.
But in large parts of the military, it's still a very pejorative term.
We're going to go.
Men do not want to be labeled with it.
Right. We're going to go back out once again to Paul and Pear. And then we're going to come right back with Ann, because we got a question that we really want to talk to you about. And we're going out to Pledge Central to Paul and Pear right now.
Okay, folks, you've been hearing some truth that really cuts right to the heart, and nowhere else except on KABU are you going to get this kind of truth. We want to keep this station going. We want to keep this disseminating the truth, the realities of war that destroys so many lives in so many ways. And you can help with that. That is our mission, and can be your mission too. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go online, kboo.fm, or come on down and see us. We're here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, half a block down from Burnside. Come on in, have a cup of coffee with us. See where your money is going. It's not going for any lavish corporate headquarters, no executive hot tub. It's just going for bare bones radio station, pretty good equipment, wonderful record library, salaries for a wonderful staff. Come on down and be part of this truth-telling organization.
877-500-5266. That's the number to call. And the guest that you're hearing today on Veterans Voice, Ann Jones, has a new book out, They Were Soldiers, How the Wounded Returned from America's Wars, The Untold Story. And that can be yours for a $60 minimum pledge. That's, $5 a month, right?
$5 a month.
That's not too much. That's not too bad.
That's easy.
So, yeah, you can get that. And there's other gifts that can be yours. And just knowing that you're supporting community radio, this 45-year experiment in grassroots, people-powered radio. I was thinking of the roots of this kind of radio, going back to Pacifica, which started in 1949 with KPFA. They were explicitly anti-war. That's basically, they formed post-World War II. They were actually formed by conscientious objectors. And so Pacifica, obviously Pacifica meaning Pacific, pacifist, that's the roots of this kind of radio. And KABU, actually, some of the first news and public affairs we covered was talking about the Vietnam War, the student strike at Portland State University in 1970. So KABU's been dealing with these issues, covering these issues all the way back. So if you support that kind of programming, please give us a call right now, 877-500-5266.
Unfortunately, it is an untold story, but KABU is trying to tell it. We are doing our best to tell it to the world, because the world needs to know what is going on. This country needs to know what is going on in its name. So give us a call at 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm. We've been on the air now for 45 years. We've been through a lot of, it almost seems there's always been a war going on somewhere in the world in those 45 years. And KABU has been there speaking out against these wars when nobody else would. So that should be worth something to you, something that cuts through this fog of misinformation that comes from the Pentagon and Wall Street. KABU is there for you, and will you be there for KABU? We need you, folks. We need you now, and we hope that you need us. Put us in your lives, keep your lives a little bit more sane with voices of truth coming from KABU.
Yeah, we're trying to undercut the weapons of mass disinformation. People were listening around the time of the first Gulf War back in 1990, and the second Gulf War post 9/11. I think if KABU had been around in 1964, we would have been talking about the Gulf of Tonkin. Would have been talking about the Gulf of Tonkin.
Senator Wayne Morse voted against it.
That's right. And so KABU has been very consistent. When everybody else is jumping on the bandwagon, whether it's Syria or whatever, KABU is really trying to dig underneath and really get at what's really going on. What are the real interests involved? Who really stands to benefit? Like Amy Goodman was talking about, these military contractors who are getting on all the talk shows. Well, KABU does something different. KABU is committed to a really different vision of the world. If you support that vision that we share, please call us up at 877-500-5266.
We're talking with Ann Jones, the author of They Were Soldiers, How the Wounded Returned from America's Wars, The Untold Story. Arlene, ask her the question.
Well, yes, and I was wondering if you would please elaborate a bit on your experience with the chaplain's corps over there. I was just astounded when I read in your writings that the bookstores, the military bookstores, carry, evangelistic literature, which, you know, for me, that gives off the message that you're here for God and country. And, you know, it's like there's a kind of a blessing on the use of force. I know that the chaplains play a unique role and are sometimes caught in the middle, but would you please, you even mentioned that that's the good news. Like, how can there be good news in a combat zone?
Yeah, your conversation with the medic, I think you were at the hospital in Germany. Can you talk about that? That was so interesting.
Oh.
Anne? Hello?
Sounds like we might
Looks
have
like
lost
we may
her.
Have lost Anne. I think we lost Anne. So we'll talk about it. What she was doing, Anne was at the hospital in Germany, and she was sitting in the cafeteria when a chaplain came, and she was talking to the chaplain about what his job was and everything, and he was just telling all these things about this was the good news. These guys are fighting, you know, for God
and country.
Yeah, for God and Anne was saying, well, you know, how can you say that to these men? You know, how can you say that to these men when these men are asking you? You know, where was God when my friend was blown up and killed? You know, where was God?
When I lost my legs.
Yeah, when I lost my legs and I lost my arm or something. And this whole song and dance this guy was giving these guys,
it's
you know.
It's fraud.
Yeah.
It's fraud.
Yeah, and it was saying all these things about, you know, you're fighting for this and all that. And he said something that was really interesting. When Anne asked him about this stuff, and he said, if the wounded soldier has lost that belief in religion, and if he's lost that belief in God, then he's a lost soul. You know, he's a lost soul. And these guys were they'd been shot up. They watched their brothers and sisters get just completely blown up. Anne in her book was saying that when their trucks would get blown up by a IED, that they would have to go and literally get down on their hands and knees to scrape up the bodies.
The body parts.
They would try to get all the body parts up from the ground
explosion.
To send home, mm-hmm. because they would want their friends to do that for them. And so it was this real traumatic for these soldiers to see the blood of their buddies, and then they would come back
and get preached at.
Yeah, and get preached at. They would come back to their base camp, and that was it. That was it. If these guys were wounded, they would take care of them and put them on these airplanes and send them to one hospital. And from that hospital, the doctors would do so such and such. Then they would send them on to another hospital where doctors would do such and such. And finally, they would end up in Germany.
Well, that's the way the evac system works.
Yeah, that's how
in
Vietnam.
Yeah.
And every step of the way, these doctors would try their best to keep these guys alive. And that's what's different from when Arlene and I were in Vietnam, is that guys that were that wounded, that torn up in Vietnam would have died.
Usually.
Yeah, usually they would have died.
It just depends. I wondered, getting back to this literature in the bookstores.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would be really curious to know whether or not there's also literature in those bookstores that explains the other side of things.
I don't think there
is.
Is
there Buddhist literature?
I don't
think there is. Is there progressive literature?
Okay, she's back.
Oh, good.
And we were just talking about your conversation with the
chaplains.
Yeah, the chaplain and what he was saying about these soldiers. Can you kind of do that for us real quick? Tell us what he said and how you felt about what he was saying about religion in the battle zone.
Which, of course, is what the military does all the time. And so the good news was that even a person who had lost a limb could still go back and lead troops and all of that. It's kind of unreal. But he really did see America's soldiers as kind of onward Christian soldiers, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons for this is that there really was a mass exodus of chaplains during the war in Vietnam who had a different perspective on war, and they resigned as a matter of conscience. And the evangelicals started flocking into those chaplaincy jobs at that time, and now they clearly monopolize them, and it's a strong presence, as you were mentioning earlier, Arlene, in the bookshops. You see the slant of the military. It's heavily evangelical and heavily very conservative Republican.
Right. And we want to thank you. I know we didn't get to talk as much as we wanted about your book, and we'll keep talking to people about your book. And we want to thank you for coming on our show. And
thank you also for the work you're doing.
Oh, the wonderful work you've done.
For writing about this, for writing the truth. Right. It's an honor.
Thank you. Right back at you. What you're doing is so important.
Thank you.
Yes.
Everybody's hollering in the other room. Way to go. And thanks a lot. And we want to, and we'll keep talking about your book and reading your stuff.
I'm going to read
Tom's
the whole
Dispatch.
Book.
And thanks a lot. And have a wonderful time in your new homeland of Norway.
Thanks so much.
Okay, bye.
On.
Okay,
that's
right. Bye-bye.
We're going to go back out to Pledge Central and to Paul and Pear, and then we'll be back to finish off the show. And we're going to go to Pear now and Paul.
Yeah, hi. This is Paul, and we are at 877-500-5266, right behind Pear and I. There's a number of volunteers ready to take your call to pledge your support to become a member of KBOO Community Radio. And we know there are people who listen to this show on a regular basis, and probably not all of you have become members. Maybe some of you were members and you've let it lapse. Maybe you're not even sure, but give us a call and find out. If you want to keep this program strong and thriving into the future, along with the rest of KBOO, please give us a call at that number right now, 877-500-5266.
Or come on down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Come on and see where your money is going. It's going for the Bare Bones radio station. It's going for, good music, and it's going for news connections around the world. It's not going for corporate lunches or anything like that. No extravagance down here, folks. And so put your money where your minds are, where your hearts are. This is a very important program that we've been listening to. I know Ann Jones has been on KBOO a number of times. I have not heard her voice anywhere except on KBOO. Not even on that other public broadcasting station. Maybe I missed it, but I didn't miss it here. I've heard her about two or three times. So give us keep voices like Ann Jones on the air. She is saying really important things that everybody ought to know about. So that is what KBOO does for you, and this is your chance to do something for KBOO. Just a modest pledge will keep this station on the air. 877-500-5266.
And for a $120 minimum donation, you can get this really special KBOO 4 gig audio flash drive, which includes recorded talks by Bill McKibben, Amy Goodman, Greg Pallas, Raj Patel, Robert Jensen, Kathleen Dean Moore, and Thomas Lindsay, plus audio from a whole bunch of KBOO hosted specials, including content never broadcast on the radio, all inside our branded heavy metal-free flip-style bamboo flash drive. That's yours for a $120 minimum donation. For a $100 minimum donation, you get the 2014 Portland Chinook book with hundreds of coupons to local businesses worth thousands of dollars. So those are just a few things that we thank you for thanking us with your contribution. And to make that contribution to Community Radio, this 45-year experiment in grassroots people-powered radio, call us up at 877-500-5266. Do it now.
Yes, you know, the easy way to contribute is the electronic funds transfer. It comes automatically out of your checking account. You don't have to put a stamp on an envelope and write out a check. It's all done automatically. All you have to do is every month you look at your bank statement and say, wow, some of this money is well spent. It is going to KBOO. It is not going to the Pentagon. It is not going to a nasty landlord. It is going to help spread a little truth around this sad world. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. Do it now. We depend on you, and I think you depend on us for a little bit of truth.
And we're very transparent. You know, you can hear what we bring you. You know, there's no mystification involved. It's like it's coming right out over the airwaves. You know, you may not like all of it, but I'm sure you like a lot of it. I'm sure you listen to a lot of this. If you're listening to this program right now, if you're a longtime Veterans Voice listener, please consider becoming a member if you're not already, if you've let your membership lapse. Please call us up at 877-500-5266.
Re-up your membership. That's what. Instead of re-upping in the Army, re-up for Veterans Voice. And do it now. Take six. Mox Nicks, take six. Come on, folks. Give us a call, 877-500-5266 or 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Come on down and see us. We are here in all our flesh and blood glory, our addled brains. We keep this going to you, and we want you to help us in our truth endeavor.
The only way it's going to continue, folks, of course it's going to continue. We're going to continue, but you know, we've got a lot of plans to expand into a media center, to, you know, expand more, better coverage of all our listening area. You know, it all depends on you, folks. It all depends on your ability, willingness, desire to put your, as Paris said, put your money where your heart is. Call us up at 877-500-526 or go to KBOO.FM. Click on the donate today.
It's
so
jar.
Easy on the pickle jar.
The pickled egg jar.
There you go. And I think the Veterans Voice folks are still there and would like to also share some things with you.
Thanks, Paul and Pear, for doing that. And we just want to say that Veterans Voice has been on the radio for 20 years, and it's all because of you. You know, one thing that we've always wanted to do ever since Paul had us on his show back in 1991 and was that we wanted to talk about war. We wanted to talk about the filthiness of war, the horrors of war, you know, not only on us as veterans, what happened to us happened to Arlene and happened to me in Vietnam. We wanted to talk about what happened to the civilians. You know, we saw what this war machine was doing to the children and the civilians in Vietnam, and it was horrible. It was horrible what this country was doing, dropping bombs on them, using napalm and white phosphorus, and what it was doing to all these people. And that's one of the things we wanted to deal with. We wanted to come back and tell what war was truly like.
Tell the truth.
Yeah, the truth about war. What war was really like. Arlene had to deal every day with wounded soldiers, every day. And she had to deal with civilians that they would bring in. And so that's what we wanted to talk about. We wanted people to know the filthiness of war and who was getting rich by war and the whole mess of war and how they drag us into these filthy wars.
And it hasn't changed.
And it hasn't changed. We want to thank you for listening to Veterans Voice Radio Show here on KBO 90.7 FM. And we'll be back at 9 a.m. on November 15. And there it is. And we'll talk to folks when we get back. And you can take us out now with your music.
Thank you.
Oh. marched to the Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I've killed my share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the Little Big Horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more a dying, but I ain't a marching anymore.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to help sponsor the 8th Annual Northwest Indian Storytelling Festival to take place Friday and Saturday, October 18th and 19th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, October 20th at 1 p.m. The Friday evening event will take place at PCC Cascade, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland, and the Saturday and Sunday events will take place at the Native American Youth and Family Center, 5135 Northeast Columbia Boulevard in Portland. This year's festival features some of the Northwest's most gifted tribal tellers, tribal drumming and singing, an opening prayer, and a silent auction. This event is a benefit for the Northwest Indian Storytellers Association. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, October 18th, 2013, full moon, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. This program is brought to you by, you